If I can make as much progress this next week as I have this past week, I should have a golden voice. Last Sunday night, I couldn't talk above a whisper. And I never felt as crucified in my life. I did take notes of the things that some of you said, and I will have my day. I took the advice of Dr. Becky. She told me I needed to hush and rest it for a week, and you won't believe this, but other than answering the phone and a few things like that, I have not talked for a week. And that hurts. I enjoy talking. Next Sunday morning, I have a lesson planned that I've never preached before. It's a little bit different. I want to preach on the subject, the inside cover of the Bible. When you pick up your Bible, there are a lot of things in it that are not inspired. There are a lot of things in it that are not in the text. Many of those are good. Many of them are helpful. But I was in a motel recently and picked up a Gideon Bible. And when I looked inside the back cover, it had a copy of the Sinner's Prayer. And I've looked in some other Bibles and have seen rather lengthy discussions telling people what to do to become a Christian and how to live as a Christian that do not agree with what's in the text. And so I want to talk next Sunday on the subject inside the back cover of your Bible. This morning, our subject is the milk of the Word. John 3 gives us a picture of how becoming a Christian is like a new birth. Jesus said you're to be born of water and the Spirit. And then he said you must be born again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word. As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word. As we study the lesson this morning, which is dealing with spiritual matters, please keep in the back of your mind physical ideas that have to do with birth and the growth of a child. Because that is exactly what these passages that we've noticed and others teach us, that there is a sense in which becoming a Christian and growing as a Christian is like becoming a part of a new family and growing as a part of that family. First, let's emphasize again in our thinking that babies need milk. A newborn baby may not be able to digest anything except the mother's milk or a formula that has been put together that comes as close to being like that mother's milk as possible. That newborn baby cannot take meat and eat it or digest it. That newborn baby cannot even take baby food at that point. There is the need of milk. When one becomes a Christian, we need to understand that principle also. Especially when one becomes a Christian as a younger child. We need to understand that that new Christian is a babe in Christ and is in need of the milk of the Word at that point and may not be able to understand and digest spiritually what we would call the meat of the Word. A few weeks ago, when Briley was baptized here on Wednesday night. I made some comments along this line, and some of you were not here at that point. I want to mention them again. Sometimes we are concerned that a younger person may be baptized too early, and that is a possibility. Because we cannot be scripturally baptized unless we believe, unless we are old enough to have faith, and at least basically understand the principles of becoming a Christian. However, a young person at say 11, 12, or 13 does not understand what an adult should understand, and perhaps does not have even the capacity to understand all of that at that point. Because of that, it has become increasingly meaningful to me to make a distinction between incomplete understanding and misunderstanding. If a person has been taught wrong and does not understand the plan of salvation, that person cannot be scripturally baptized. Yet I believe that a young person, especially who has grown up in a Christian home or set of circumstances, and has learned a lot about the Bible, understands a lot about Christ, and understands that one should become a Christian, and has a basic understanding of what is involved in becoming a Christian, that although there is no doubt an incomplete understanding of any biblical subject, that person is capable of becoming a new babe in Christ, a new Christian in Christ. When I look back now at the time that I was baptized, October the 19th, 1953, I realize now what I probably didn't realize then, that there was a lot about the Bible and a lot about even the plan of salvation that I did not understand. I am convinced, however, that I did understand enough to know that I was obeying God and what I needed to do to obey God on that occasion. We need to understand that when young people become Christians. We also need to understand that when a person becomes a Christian at, say, age 11, 12, or 13, and there is no specific age chronologically, it's age maturity speaking that's involved, that person is still a child. We should not expect a child to act like an adult. That child will have, as we were studying in the Bible class this morning, childlike qualities, and probably will even have some childish qualities. None of us live perfect lives, and a new Christian at a young age is not going to live a perfect life. It is important for all of us to understand that. He says what is needed when one becomes a babe in Christ is the milk of the Word. For 2 years, I taught mathematics. And as you look at learning mathematics, you begin back in kindergarten or even before that, getting the children to understand a few basic things. They may understand pretty early that 2 plus 2 equals 4. They are not ready to solve an equation that has an A and a B or an X and a Y in it. That's going to come later. And we realize that in teaching mathematics, we teach what the child can understand at that level, and then build on that level to teach something that is more involved. I believe that is exactly the situation when one becomes a Christian. We begin where that person is with what we might call the elementary elements of the gospel, and we try to instill in that younger person a knowledge of those things. Then as that person develops, we can teach other things. Just like we began after a short period of time to feed the baby some baby food along with milk. And then a little later we say we are beginning to feed them something off the table. They are not capable at that point of eating it and chewing it and digesting it as an adult might, but if it is altered to their level of ability, they can begin to use that. And then as they grow older, they get to the point that they are able to eat meat and other foods. If a baby comes into the family born, comes in at birth, that baby needs nothing but milk as far as food is concerned. If you were to adopt a child that's, say, a year old, you would begin at that point to feed that child perhaps something in addition to milk. If you were to adopt a child that's 10 or 12 years old, at the point that he comes into the family, you would begin where he is and what he's capable of taking, and then grow from there. The same thing is true as far as the church is concerned. Suppose there is a man who has been in religious error but has a basic knowledge of the Bible. He is converted to become a New Testament Christian. He, the first few days that he's a Christian, can begin to understand weightier matters than the younger person who becomes a Christian. We need to understand that babies need milk. But then there's something else that's important. Time and growth will bring about a demand for additional food. If you continue to feed a child milk and milk only, all of the younger years and even into the teenage years, and that child never had anything else to consume, there would develop a physical anemia. If when one becomes a Christian and continues to get older and grow, we fail to teach something other than the milk, that person will become spiritually anemic. You may well remember what's said in Hebrews 5:12-14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, he's saying you haven't grown as you should. You're not able to digest the meat of the gospel. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That's another way of expressing that incomplete understanding that I mentioned earlier. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason, notice, of use, reason of use, they've exercised this and put it to use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Over in 1 Corinthians 3:2, Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. They had not grown spiritually as they should. If something happens that a baby is born and that baby does not develop physically, we are concerned. And there are some instances where mentally a child never develops beyond the baby stage, and sometimes very little physically beyond that stage. He's using that to suggest there is a problem. If after time has gone by and use and exercise has gone by, that's the two elements he mentions in Hebrews 5. One is still not able to take some of the meat of the gospel, that there's a problem. He said, you're not growing. You understand the elementary principles, but that's all you understand. And there have been instances where some preachers preached only elementary principles and never got into other subjects. And that's a problem. We need to be able to grow. We need to be able to come out of childish activities, although we still need childlike activities. We need to learn to be adults and men, used in the generic sense, as we grow older as Christians. If we do not physically, there's a problem, and if we do not spiritually, there's a problem. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Notice, he didn't say childlike, he said childish. In the next chapter, at verse 20, he said, "There are some ways we need to continue to be like children." He said, "In malice be ye children." And the lesson there is, children don't hold grudges. And we need that quality even as adults. But then he said, in understanding or with your mind, you need to be men. You need to grow mentally to where you're able to understand the strong meats. And so, when one becomes a Christian, there should begin at that point a regular, detailed process of growth, whereby one can, as described in Ephesians 4:13, come to the fullness of stature in Jesus Christ. And so we need the milk of the Word, especially as babies. But with time and growth, there is a demand for additional food. I think we also need to understand, and this is something that's not always mentioned spiritually speaking, we never outgrow our need for milk. Oh, there may be some people who are allergic or for other reasons do not use milk as they grow older. But milk is considered one of the staple food that we need as we grow older. I enjoy a glass of milk now much better than a cup of coffee. I don't like coffee. I could drink a gallon of milk a day if I'd let myself. I don't need the calcium and other things that are there, especially calories. But I believe that I need milk, and I have tried to determine how much do I need each day. I don't want just a diet of milk, but I want it to continue to be a part of my food system every day. We have need of milk as well as need of meats. Some people never grow in that sense. There are people in the church today who can tell you in detail what is necessary to become a Christian, and maybe a few other things, but they don't have any idea whatsoever about how to teach concerning worship and Christian living and the making and the maintenance of a home and getting along with people in the community. Oh, they know those elementary principles. They can give you book, chapter, and verse for that. But they've never gone on to learn something else. There are others who, because of perhaps several factors, get to the point that they concentrate on nothing except the heavier matters of the gospel, maybe those things that are difficult to understand, and they spend their entire time studying on those things and forget the importance of the elementary principles of the gospel. For that reason, I would emphasize that we never outgrow our need for milk. Milk is vital sometimes to produce some of our very favorite dishes. Even some of the dishes that might be described as exotic need milk to make them what they need to be. In the same sense, we need the milk of God's Word to continue to be a part of and to be stirred in, if you please, those dishes that we need to grow as Christians. The first six verses of Hebrews 6 suggest that we need to leave those doctrines, and he mentions certain things, and go on to other things. Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew 23:23, you are involved in offering things such as cumin and other spices, and you have forgotten the weightier matters of the law. And one of those he mentions is judgment. And then he says something rather interesting. These ought you to have done, that's the weightier matters, and not left the other undone. You see, he's saying, don't overlook, don't forget those elementary principles. But don't just concentrate on those and think that's all you need. You need to get into the weightier matters of the law, and then don't forget those other, don't leave those others undone either. Which means that the proper growth of a child is to have the appropriate portions of milk at any point in life. As a babe, that's 100%. As he grows, it gets less and less percentage-wise in the food plan. But it never needs to be factored out completely. I believe that is a wonderful, important lesson for us in the church. We need those elementary principles. Just believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God may be thought of as an elementary principle, and yet that principle has got to stay with us no matter what we learn from the Bible. If we ever leave that principle out, we're hurting. And yet, if that's the only thing we know, and we never learn how that fits in and how that helps us to produce other facts of knowledge, we will be, as I said earlier, spiritually anemic. We need the milk of the Word. We never outgrow it completely. But we need to add the meat of the gospel, to where we have, spiritually speaking, what we emphasize physically, a balanced diet. And when we do that, we can develop into strong adults physically or strong adults spiritually as Christians as we grow older. I encourage you to think about these points. Put them in proper focus. Be sure that you know the basic concepts of Christianity and becoming a Christian. But also be sure that you know what's involved in worship, what's involved in daily living, how we treat each other as we should, how we act and react in our different relationships. And continue to keep those elementary principles as you add to the spiritual diet, and you can grow and be the kind of person that God wants you to be. But folks, no one since Adam and Eve has become an adult without being born. And no one can become an adult Christian without being born spiritually. Accepting Jesus Christ as the Son of God, believing that, repenting, confessing that faith before men, and being buried with Him in baptism in order for the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sins. If you haven't done that, you can't grow as a Christian. And if you've done that and you got just inside the door of Christ in the church and sat down and quit, you're not growing as you should. You're just staying on milk and nothing else. And maybe you need to think in terms of rearranging your approach to life spiritually and make things right with God through prayer with a penitent heart. If either's your need,